giving him anything. After the
CD coming your way, Sophie.
Dean Bulldog Ritchie and Mark Bosnich is our legend of the game.
Government is set to announce a $1.2 billion boost for schools in Tuesday's budget. According to reports, it's more than $3 billion short of what was promised under Labor's Gonski reforms and will be spread over 3 years from 2018. The states and territories will also have to include literacy and numeracy checks on children starting school and minimum standards for students to pass Year 12. From today, Australians with advanced melanoma will have access to a new treatment option on the pharmaceutical benefits scheme. More than 12,000 Australians are diagnosed with melanoma each year, making it the fourth most common cancer in Australian men and women. Dr. Georgina Long from the Melanoma Institute of Australia says the new listing is welcome news for patients who are battling the disease.
5 years ago, a patient with advanced melanoma, that is a melanoma that has spread to distant areas of the body like the lung, the liver, the bone, the brain, we had no drug therapies that worked for these patients. We've now got many options for these patients, and having nivolumab on the PBS just pushes forward this momentum and this fight against cancer.
Queensland police have charged a man after he allegedly assaulted several people and stole their vehicles on Brisbane's north side yesterday afternoon. The 29-year-old Logan Lee man has been charged with two counts each of robbery with violence, unlawful use of a motor vehicle and dangerous operation of a motor vehicle. He has also been charged with one count each of assault and driving a motor vehicle without a licence. He's due to appear in Brisbane Magistrates Court on Monday. Witnesses to violent scenes along a popular Perth cafe and bar strip are demanding more police on the beat following an ugly brawl that erupted on James Street, Northbridge. A group of youths hurled chairs, tables, bottles and even ripped up street pavers to use as weapons. Officers were quick to respond, but the opposition says that kind of violence shouldn't be happening in the first place. Overseas, and the first cruise ship to travel to Cuba from the United States will set sail on Sunday from Miami. The Adonia, operated under Carnival's Fathom brand, will visit several ports on the island. It's the first US cruise line to head to Cuba in more than 50 years. Steve Mort reports.
The Fathom cruise ship can carry 700 passengers and is expected to be full for the historic sailing to Cuba. The lead-up to the cruise had been marred by controversy after Carnival said it could not take bookings from Americans born in Cuba, as a decades-old Cuban government policy prevented those born on the island from entering or leaving by boat. But those rules were scrapped to allow Cuban Americans to travel on board. The cruises to Cuba depart every 2 weeks. As with other Fathom cruises, they stress volunteerism, and most passengers will participate in cruise line organized activities that can be classified as people-to-people exchanges, one of the 12 categories of travel the U.S. government permits to Cuba. Steve Mort, Air News, Orlando.
Also in news, Will Ferrell says he's decided against starring in a film about Ronald Reagan in which the late US president develops dementia in his second term. The planned film had prompted a strong backlash from Reagan's family, who protested that the film would portray dementia and Alzheimer's as a comedy. And 84 migrants are still missing after an inflatable craft sank off the coast of Libya. This is Air News. Port Adelaide have heaped further pressure on Richmond coach Damien Hardwick, trumping the Tigers by 35 points at the MCG. The heat was already on Hardwick after an underwhelming start to the AFL season, and it proceeded to get hotter as Port triumphed 13-16-94 to 8-11-59. The upset loss leaves the Tigers, who next face reigning premiers Hawthorn, with one win from the opening six rounds. Not since 2010, Hardwick's first season in charge, have Richmond started the season so poorly. Meanwhile, Patrick Dangerfield has amassed 30 possessions and kicked two goals, with Geelong trouncing a hapless Gold Coast 25-18-168 to 7-6-48. The Suns lost defender Trent McKenzie to a game-ending left ankle injury early in the second term. To NRL, and Mitchell Pearce has breathed fresh life into the Sydney Roosters with an inspired return from his drunken Australia Day antics. Playing his first match of the year following an 8-match suspension, Pearce guided the Roosters to a crushing 38-0 victory over Newcastle. Pearce received a standing ovation after having a hand or foot in three of his six sides' tries and scoring one himself to help drag the Roosters to just their second win from nine starts this year. Meanwhile, a 79th-minute field goal to Peter Wallace has given Penrith a thrilling 19-18 NRL win over Canberra. Australian Independent Radio News.
Where it's moving and where it's not. Sydney traffic on the Big Sports Breakfast.
Good morning in Randwick. There's a fair bit of traffic around the racecourse this morning on Allison Road. Looking at the airport now, the East Distributor, that's clear, and the M5 has some traffic, but it is moving. Once you get to Marsh Street, though, that's when you will hit the brakes. Airport Drive and Qantas Drive also choked heading into the International Terminal. The M4 is up to speed in both directions. Parramatta Road's fine this morning. Roads are slippery in a lot of Sydney, though, so wipe off five, as they say. Kmart has everything for the perfect Mother's Day gift, including the time to find it. They're open until at least 10 PM weekdays and 8 PM weekends, with some stores open 24/7. I'm Tim Govers on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Partly cloudy for Sydney today. Areas of fog in the west in the early morning. A 50% chance of showers in the morning. Well, that can be confirmed here. It's a 100% chance it's going to be raining at French's Forest. We know that. The chance of a thunderstorm chiefly in the west early this morning. Winds north to northwesterly, 25 to 35 kilometres an hour. A maximum of 27 degrees in Sydney town. What about at Moorebank, Raymond? And what about where Fell Swoop is at the moment? Moolimba.
Okay, Moorebank. Shower 2 and a top of 28 degrees today. And up at Moolimba, showers and potentially a top temperature of 27.
Could it be an Aussie car up in Hong Kong this afternoon? Two massive Group 1s head the card. The Champions Mile and the Chairman's Sprint Prize. And the Aussies aren't there for a holiday. Can Boat Creek measure up to Japanese giant killer Maurice in the mile? And what about our world-class speedsters Chautauqua and Buffering? Could it be an Aussie 1-2 in the sprint? Find out when the Sky Racing Network brings you all the shots in action today from 2:30. Get on at your local TAB or at tab.com.au.
You want Mazdas?
We've got Mazdas. Acres of them.
In fact, Penrith Mazda is the largest single-site Mazda dealer in New South Wales.
And we're the state's number one BT50 dealer.
Not only do we have more, but the BT50 range gives you more.
More grunt, more torque, more comfort. Across the 4x4 and 4x2 BT50 range, get more options, more technology and more safety.
From the team at Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain and secures his sixth victory in the 1000.
And Winks races up to hit the lead. She shot away in the Epsom. It's all over. Ecuador, sons of John, machine for the miners at Bowman, high in the irons, gives the big salute.
Thurston to choose from with Coote. He hits it.
And best serve of sport and racing. On Sky Sports Radio, it's time for the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's Ray Thomas and Jimmy Smith.
Welcome back to the program. Big last hour coming your way as well. 1353 53 is the open line number. We'd love you to get involved. Keep the SMS coming. Ray, there's heaps of them, aren't they? People wanting to have their say. Adrian gets to mention a lot, which is quite interesting. 0419 SMS BSB. That's 0419 767 272. Dean Bulldog Richie very shortly. Trent Lenscow from tab.com.au. Mark Bosnich, the great Bozza, is our legend of the game. And we'll have a chat to Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Sons. So get your questions in if you would like to ask us or ask anyone. Dean Bulldog Richie, you let us know. Just a little bit of a laugh we're having with Hamish, our panel operator today, about the Warriors Intra Super Premiership team, which is a pretty strong team this week.
That was pretty bad.
What was that?
That was an imitation, was it?
No, it wasn't an imitation.
Oh, okay.
Just an inflection, right?
Okay.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
Listen, this thing that you and Jeremy have got going, it's really starting to wear a little bit thin, buddy. Anyway, the Warriors, pretty interesting game that they've got going at the moment. $1.12 they are in that match against Canterbury. Now, Canterbury haven't won a game. They've had one draw all year, but they haven't won a game. They're $1.12 against the Warriors, featuring Manu Vatuvai, Ben Matulino, Conrad Hurrell.
Do we know what actually happened there?
Yeah, they
boys
were
on a drink, were
out
they?
Late. Mm. Out late drinking in the middle of the week.
Mm. And it's cost them a test spot too, eh?
Yeah. But
they're all out of the test.
16.5 the line in that one. So just out of, I mentioned Adrian was getting a few Cheerios via the SMS. Here's an interesting one. Has Adrian ever owned a pair of footy boots or just born with so much knowledge? Same stuff, different day. That comes in from H. Well, actually, I think he played lower grades for the Dragons. I think that's a true story. I believe Adrian played lower grades.
Is that true, is it?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can I read out Don from Carlton?
Yeah, go.
Been waiting
for Don.
All morning for Don. I love his contributions.
Oh, morning, Don.
Hey, Ray. On behalf of all bent-nosed clowns, I can categorically say that Jimmy Smith is not a member of the Bent-Nosed Clown Club.
No, it's straight.
We have high standards. We kicked Jimmy out years ago. Don from Carlton.
It wouldn't surprise me.
That's for Sophie's benefit. Good morning, Sophie.
Me.
Good morning, Don.
If Don from Carlton is Sophie at Strathfield, I would not be surprised at all if that was the case. Anyway, next time we give you a CD, Sophie, answer the phone. We'd love to hear from you. 1353 53, the open line number. Time now to go to Dean Bulldog Ritchie, the number one writer for News Limited with the game of rugby league. And this is interesting too, because we get this in from Dave from Wattlegrove. Dean, boys, you might want to ask Bulldog about his appearance on GB yesterday. Not his finest. They just gave it to him. Also, he claims sole credit for your spectacular ratings rise.
No, good on you.
Jeez, Dave. Dean, is any of that correct? Good morning.
All of it. Every syllable, Jimmy.
Good on you, Dean.
Well, hang on. How did that transpire, Dean? And how did you claim credit for our ratings rise?
Because I did.
Right. You just did. It's the vibe. It's Marbo.
Hey, Ray, what about Jimmy Tonky? Just talking about it. It's a whopper, isn't it? It's raining out there today. If I walked on the Jimmy's nose, I'd stay dry.
I wouldn't mind it full of diamonds. I know that.
Hey, Dino, we better get serious, hey?
Yeah, why not, Ray? Let's get into it.
Can I first ask you, Dino, your opinion of the test squad? An experienced one. I think it's the fourth oldest in Australian test history.
Mm.
Yeah, it smacks to me of a coach, Mallard, just wants a good, steady, solid first-up test side. Nothing flashy, nothing silly, not too many rookies in there. Look, this is just the start of of the journey, I guess, to the World Cup. We've got the Four Nations after this year in England, and then we come back next year for the World Cup. The Kiwis have won three successive test matches, so there's a bit of pressure on Mal straight away. You just spoke about the Warriors. They're in a bit of disarray. Obviously, that filters through to the Kiwi test side, the Kieran Foran issues. He won't be there. So I think Australia really will rack up a fairly handy and sizable win there.
Well, they should do, shouldn't they, Dino?
Yeah, don't play on the one-off test either. Mm.
Dean, would you have picked Semi Radradra for Australia?
No.
Yeah. Mm. Would you let Anthony Milford play for Samoa?
Yes.
What?
You've got to promote the international game, Jimmy.
Why aren't we doing it, Dino? 100%. Dino, why aren't we doing it?
Well, look, to be
why isn't the sport doing it, or rephrase that? Why isn't the sport doing it?
Look, to be fair, Radradra himself decided. So they didn't coerce or poach him as such. He wanted to play. He was eligible, and they've picked him. If I was the coach, I'd probably do the same thing. I guess that then stems back to whether the rules in place.
That's the key, Dino.
Radradra's a hero in Fiji.
Yes.
An absolute hero, and here he is pulling on the green and gold.
Dean, how much do they get paid for a test match now?
Well, I worked out the other day, Jimmy, that Semi Radradra, if he plays every test between now and the World Cup, he can pull in $160,000.
Right, so it's 20 grand a test match, $30,000 for a State of Origin appearance.
And if the further they go in tournaments, Jimmy, I think it's 30 or 40 for the winners, and it comes back to 20 if you round it up and 50
if
you're third. So
right,
it is sort of graded that way. But he can earn up to $160,000, and you know that's good coin. Let's be honest.
Absolutely,
the money playing for Fiji would be minimal, if any at all, a couple of $1,000 maybe.
Yeah, and that's what makes it tough to make that decision. The Bulldogs on Friday night. I reckon there's a bit of disquiet now. Not so much about the fact that they lost, but the manner in which they're losing.
Yeah, they were certainly disappointing. I spoke to Des on the Friday afternoon. He was quietly confident. He said they'd had a good week at training. Everyone was in a good headspace. But look, they came out. I must admit, I thought the Kieran Foran issue would either
galvanise
Parramatta or galvanise.
Mm, one of two ways.
To find.
Yeah.
And obviously it was the latter. It galvanised Parramatta. And we've discussed on this show before that I just love rugby league when Parramatta's a force out west in Sydney, and it is going to be a terrible shame when the points deduction does arrive. But yes, just getting back to the Bulldogs, they started the season quite prominently, but I just think at times still their halves just don't grab the game and control the game the way Des wants them to.
Hmm. On a similar theme, Dino, we're disquiet in the Rabbitohs as well.
Yeah, look, the Rabbitohs rumours float around every year, Jimmy. Look, Michael Maguire is a hard taskmaster.
Yep.
He reminds me a bit of a Ricky Stewart, you know. Very fierce, very ferocious, very focused, all the S. And with those coaches, generally speaking, you think their time frame in the club might be 3-4 years, and after that it might be time for a change. But no doubt Magic can coach. He's won a premiership for goodness sake.
Yeah, only a year and a half ago.
Yeah, but, you know, that ferocious approach, I guess, in the end... can take a toll mentally on the players.
Would you say that Craig Bellamy has a ferocious approach? I would, yeah. And as a but he's been there for over a decade.
Yeah, it's a very good point, Jimmy. You're 100% right. It debunks my theory to some degree, but Bellamy is just, I guess, one out of the box, isn't he? He's been there for 10, 12 years, won premierships and done it all. But as for Maguire, look, if South don't make the semi-finals this year, no doubt he'll stay next year. But maybe after that, it'll be year five, I think. Maybe there might be... you know, time for some sort of change at Redfern.
You know, you've got some news on Jared Hayne?
Yeah, made a few calls yesterday, Ray. It looks like the more and more we hear of this, the more and more I can tell you that he won't be going to the Roosters. There's been a bit of scuttlebutt in the last week or so. Look, at this point, Jared is thinking NFL. Quite obviously, they had the draft in the NFL on the weekend, so it's just starting to slip into gear over there. But I'm thinking even if he does come back, I hear that the Roosters now won't be a player in the Jared Hayne situation. Now, we just spoke about South. Luke Keary, still South haven't moved on Keary for next year. Kirisom Arvai, also off contract. He may not be at Redfern either. South just trying to clear up their salary cap at the moment before making offers. But you would think with Benji Marshall moving on, the Dragons may have a dabble at Keary.
Yeah, that's the speculation, isn't it? So who will buy Benji? 350K looks like to be the asking price.
Well, that's what he wants, Jimmy. Look, he's still a fair player, but it's a lot of money. Look, I don't think he wants to go to Super League. He's tried rugby union. That didn't work out. But look, Jimmy, the more I ring and ask clubs through my day-to-day work, the more I hear that, look, they just don't want Benji. Not that he isn't a great player. Not that he hasn't been a wonderful player.
Yes.
But at this stage of his life, he's probably just not going to give them the value for 350 that they can find. Having said that, good halves are hard to find. Morabidi too, guys, just down in Melbourne.
Star.
There was a link to the ARU. It was reported that the ARU had approached Morabidi. I think you'll find the truth is that it was the other way around. He's off contract. He's trying to get an inflated price. I think he actually approached the rugby union.
To be honest, Dean, I'm shocked at that a manager is shopping around his player to a rival code to try and get an increased offer in his current code.
I don't mind that, Jimmy, but I just wish they'd sort of tell the truth straight up that we approach them.
Don't we all wish that, too? Right, now, let's go through some of these games today. In fact, let's go through all of them. Warriors up against the Dragons. Any changes there, despite the, what, about 13 that were left out because of their late-night shenanigans?
Yeah, you guys have touched on the changes here. Among those six players, Madalino, Vadovai, Harold, you just can't believe it. They would be out boozing and missing curfew and beaten 42-0. Someone's really got to take charge at the Warriors at the moment. They need some leadership, and it would appear at the moment they're just not getting it. Sean Lane from the Bulldogs has gone across there. He'll play today. Sione Lausty, another good player. He'll come in. So it's a rejigged Warriors side. And as for the Dragons, we discussed Benji. Looks like he's back from injury. He's travelled across there. That would push Josh McCrone either into hooker or the bench. And he may be hooker because Mitch Rain is in some doubt as well. I'll just clear up these final two games, guys. Storm travel to Gold Coast this afternoon. Ash Taylor back for the Gold Coast, a nice little boost for them.
Yes.
But Corabidi and young Tominapia, the two Storm wingers, both in doubt. They signed Ryan Morgan 24 hours ago at the Storm from Parramatta. He may get an early start to his new career down there in Melbourne. And the big game, that's this afternoon, 4 o'clock, Sharks, Broncos. Shame about the weather at the moment because they're tipping it'll be a sellout of about 18,000-19,000. The Sharks have had a good run with injuries. That continues there, 1 through 17. Adam Blair, though, misses the game through suspension. And we hear that Jared Wallace will be the one that'll step in and start for the Broncos.
I reckon that's really interesting, too, the thing that's overlooked a little bit. Andrew McCulloch and Adam Blair out for the Broncos. I think that's significant losses for that team. Yeah, let's hope it does clear up down there because fantastic atmosphere at Shark Park when full house and you get a big game. Do you know any other news around?
Yeah, that's basically it, but I just wanted to bring up to date with Corabidi, Keary, Arwa, and Hayne. So we've pretty much got most of it covered, Jimmy. just looking forward to this afternoon. This drought at the Shire is nearly 50 years on, and eventually it's going to break. Could it be this year? They've got the pack to do it. They've got the halves to do it. They've got a bit of speed. They've got Benny Barber. But I reckon this afternoon's a real litmus test. If they can really stick it to the Broncos. Mm. This is the Broncos' first day game in 16 matches, not since July 25 last year.
Ridiculous
thing. They have lovely, cushy night games up there every Friday night in Brisbane. 7-day turnaround. So they might have to get the shades and the zinc out this afternoon, Benny's boys.
And, Dean, thanks very much for keeping our ratings in an upward trajectory, too. We appreciate it.
I might have got up a couple of points in the last 15 minutes, Jim.
Yeah, I would have thought so. I would have thought so. Thanks,
boys.
Thanks, Dean. Have a good day. Dean Bulldog Richie, the number one rugby league writer for News Limited. We do appreciate having him on the program. 1353 53 is the open line number. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more.
On Sky Sports Radio, we bring you Australia's most comprehensive racing coverage. Key to that is our team of experienced presenters, including Russell Veitch.
Every race day is different, and that's what makes it so exciting. It's a great buzz when we guide our listeners into backing winners through the Tab Market Movers.
Tab Market Movers, caller updates, all geared to help listeners enjoy and hopefully profit from their punting. Russell Veitch, part of our national racing service, every day on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Yeah, you up front.
You've had every success in your career. Why join this competition now?
Simple, mate. You need to cash in on the rewards while you're at the top.
So, the chance to share in 20 million was too tempting?
By oath it was.
Here at Tab, we've put 20 million Tab Rewards points up for grabs. For your chance to win, join Tab Rewards today or opt in if you're already a member. But hurry, competition closes May 29.
T's and C's apply. Visit tabrewards.com.au for full details. New South Wales permit number LTPS 1500091. Gamble responsibly.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
And all the latest odds from Tab now.
No, before we do that, mate, sorry. Yeah. This is a little bit embarrassing. Sometimes we wait till the second hour before we give our first question in the Event Cinemas quiz.
We've had a Barry Crocker this morning, Jim.
Yeah, we haven't
it's
had a good
8:22.
One. We haven't given a first question yet. All right, so what we'll do, we'll make it two-question quiz.
Instead of three. Okay, just two.
Two-question quiz.
First question is,
what town in New South Wales is Fell Swoop staying in during the course of the Winter Carnival up there in Brisbane? What town in New South Wales is Fell Swoop staying in during the course of the Winter Carnival? Now we can go to Trent Lanscale.
Good morning, Trent.
Good morning, Ray. Good morning, Jimmy.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Trent. We were a bit slow out of the blocks today, but we'll get straight into it, Trent. Three big NRL games, so it's a blockbuster Sunday afternoon, starting with the Dragons over there at Mount Smart Stadium against the Warriors.
Yes, at midday, and all those changes we've spoken about with the Warriors, they're now $2.40 outsiders. St George Illawarra, $1.60, and the line is 3.5. The margin bending at the end of normal time, the Dragons 1-12, $2.85. The Warriors 1-12, $3.40. The Dragons 13+, $3.60, and the Warriors 13+, $5.50. Jason Nightingale is the $8 favourite to score the first try, with Solomone Carter and Khalifa Faafaloa at $9. 2 o'clock at Cbus Super Stadium. There's been good money for Gold Coast during the week. They're $2.25, Melbourne $1.67. The line there is 4.5, but Melbourne minus 4.5 is $2.10, and Gold Coast plus 4.5, $1.75. Margin betting the Storm 1-12, $2.85, and 13+, $3.50. The Titans 1-12, $3.50, and 13+, $5.75. Marika Korobidi and Vinavalu, the $7 equal favourites to score the first try, and then 4 o'clock at Southern Cross Group Stadium. Heard plenty of jokes, fellas, about Broncos needing sunglasses and zinc cream, but we'll see what happens this afternoon. Cronulla, they're $2.05 outsiders. Brisbane, $1.80. The line is 1.5. Margin betting, the Broncos 1-12, $2.80. The Sharks 1-12, $3. The Broncos 13+, $4.50. The Sharks 13+, $5.50. Corey Oates, the $6 favourite to score the first try. And then you've got Valentine Holmes, Jordan Kahu, Anthony Milford and James Roberts all at $9.
Lots of jokes about the Brisbane Lions too. They're rubbish. Sydney should win it comfortably, Trent.
They should, Jimmy. At that 1:10 start at the Gabba, the Brisbane Lions, they're $5. Sydney, $1.17. The Lions, 34.5. The margin betting where you've got the Swans over 39.5 and $2.05 and under 39.5, $2.30. Jimmy, just hold Ray back for a minute. Carlton could win two in a row today.
What odds were they against Fremantle last Sunday against Trent? Top of your head?
Around the start, about $5.50, Ray.
Hashtag,
unbelievable.
Hashtag rebuilt.
For 1 week anyway. But we can go back-to-back today, Trent,
we'll,
I reckon.
We'll see what happens at the G. They are $1.40 against Essendon, $2.95. The line there is 18.5. The margin, betting, well, the favourite way, the Blues under 39.5, $2.15. And then at Domain Stadium at $4.40. West Coast $1.07. Collingwood $8.50. The line there is 52.5. So the Eagles over 39.5. The favourite way, $1.43. And fellas, the GWS Giants have well and truly arrived.
Mm. Haven't they? What? Weren't they impressive? Did you flick it off at three-quarter time, Trent?
No, Ray. True supporters, they either stayed to the end or they watched to the end. And it wasn't appealing viewing, but you couldn't take your eyes off them. That was a tremendous victory.
I know you're a little bit undermanned, but how good were the Giants? Gee, they were good. A-League Grand Final today. This is massive. And go the Wanderers, Trent.
Big one at the Adelaide Oval from 4 o'clock. The normal time result betting, Adelaide United $2.20. The draws $3.75. Western Sydney $3. The grand final winner, if it needs extra time or a penalty shootout, don't matter. You're just worrying about the team that'll lift the trophy at the end. Adelaide United $1.65 and Western Sydney $2.20. There's three EPL games starting from 9 o'clock this evening, but you talked about it with Andy P. The big one is Manchester United against Leicester City. Even though Manchester United aren't going to win the title, they are the $2.05 favourites for this match. The draw's $3.50 and Leicester City are $3.50, but they can clinch the title tonight. 2001 at the start of the season, an amazing story. Plenty of other sports, fellas. There's game one of the second round of the NBA playoff series between the San Antonio Spurs and the Oklahoma City Thunder starting at 10:30 this morning. Probably the best series of the second round. San Antonio, $1.35 at home to the Oklahoma City Thunder at $3.25. So to check out all the sport and all the fixed odds as well, you can head to tab.com.au.
Go Man U, postpone the fairy tale. Just for a week, that's all I want. Just postpone it for a week. Good on you, Trent. Enjoy your day.
Thanks, guys.
Trent Lenscale there from tab.com.au. Time now for this. Yeah.
On the Big Sports Breakfast weekend, with a sports update, here's Tanya Thomas.
North Queensland has equaled its best ever start to a rugby league season with a win over Manly last night, 34-18 at Brookvale. The victory takes the Cowboys to 2-7 for the season, matching their 2-7 opening in 2006. Mitchell Pearce made his presence known, as did Jared Waira-Hargraves, back for their first games of the season for the Roosters, contributing to their 38-0 thrashing of Newcastle at Allianz Stadium. And a Peter Wallace field goal in the 79th minute gave Penrith a 19-18 win over Canberra in Canberra. Raiders coach Ricky Stewart very outspoken after the game, believing the Panthers set up an illegal wall in front of Wallace as he took the shot. Today the Warriors host the Dragons. It's the Gold Coast and Melbourne. A big game down in the Shire at 4 o'clock, Cronulla hosting Brisbane. Greater Western Sydney took an enormous step toward finally being accepted by the diehard AFL community with a 75-point flogging of Premiers Hawthorn yesterday, 158-83. The 158 points is the Giants' biggest ever score. Steve Johnson kicked five goals, and Rory lobbed four. In other results, Port Adelaide 94 beat Richmond 59, Geelong 168, the Gold Coast 48. Today, Brisbane host Sydney, Carlton play Essendon, West Coast versus Collingwood. In Super Rugby, the Brumbies' finals hopes not gone, but slipping away after a 23-10 defeat by the Highlanders in Invercargill. Queensland managed its second win of the season with an unattractive 30-17 win over the Cheetahs. The Blues beat Melbourne 36-30. The Rebels missing 30 tackles throughout the match. The Hurricanes defeated the Lions 50-17. And a big win from the Waratahs this morning at Newlands, 32-30 over the Stormers. The Crusaders and Sunwolves have a bye. In the English Premier League overnight, Arsenal beat Norwich 1-0 and sit in third spot on the ladder. But manager Arsene Wenger had to endure calls for his departure, with fans protesting inside and outside Emirates Stadium, voicing frustration at their team's failure to mount a title challenge in recent years. Elsewhere, Everton 2, Bournemouth 1, Newcastle 1, Crystal Palace 0, Stoke and Sunderland 1 all, Watford 3, Aston Villa 2, West Brom 0, West Ham 3. And the big one, Man United home to Leicester tonight, Tottenham away to Chelsea on Tuesday. Group 1 racing at Tabcorp Park, Menangle last night with Parklife taking out the Australian Pacing Gold final. Perfect Sense was second and Patacular came in third. Nick Kyrgios has gone down to Nicolas Almagro in the semi-final of the Estoril Tennis Open overnight, 6-3, 7-5, saying the conditions were tough. He didn't have a great serve and Almagro was simply better on the day. Sydney suffered its first loss of the season in the ANZ Netball Championships last night. In the grand final replay, the Swifts went down to the Queensland Firebirds 61-51. The 10-point victory extended the Firebirds' record-breaking undefeated run to 18 games now and elevated them to outright first on the Australian Conference ladder. Firebirds goal shooter Romelda Aiken shot 52 of their 61 goals. The frustration Shani Layton must have felt. She didn't show it, of course, because she's too professional, but boy, oh boy, she was the goalkeeper up against Romelda Aiken, and Romelda is 6'4".
Just really?
And
just
no too matter, tall. She's just too tall. Yeah. And no matter
well,
how
Shani's,
hard...
Shani's tall, but she towers over her, and her reach is amazing.
Yeah, she's at least half a foot taller than anyone on the court, and right. No matter how high you jump, she just can't get it. Mm. And their whole game plan is focused on getting the ball
in the vicinity
over to that goal shooter, because you can see there's goal shooter on goal attack, and Romelda, as I said, shot 52 of their 61 goals.
At what percentage? How many did she miss, do you know?
I think she missed probably about 6 or 7.
Right.
Yeah.
So pretty good percentage.
Yeah, she did. And boy, she's quickly 50,000 expected at the Adelaide Oval today for the grand final. Now, the FFA are hoping that the ground has pulled up okay, because yesterday it hosted Adelaide and Fremantle in the AFL, and that was followed by a kick and catch session for fans. So,
as they always do, don't they?
Yeah.
Wasn't there a concern about 3 millimetres of grass?
Something like that.
They wanted it shorter, they wanted it longer, or I think the footballers wanted it longer and the AFL guys wanted it shorter.
That's right.
I have so enjoyed, however, watching many of my friends on Facebook posting pictures and videos of their Griswold-type family journeys over to Adelaide in minibuses, trains, cars, planes.
You couldn't afford
it. It's hysterical.
A flight.
$1,000.
It's disgraceful, seriously.
Yeah.
Well,
that's what they've done.
But there are about 10,000 Wanderers fans expected there, let's hope.
Mm.
So, and they're very loud.
Yeah, absolutely. Good on you, Tan. Appreciate that. 1353-53, the open line number. Speaking of football, great footballers, Mark Bozza Bosnich, our legend of the game, up after the break.
Mum, have you heard of the Four Seasons?
Yes, Lano, you live there.
Mum, I'm inventing a new season.
What is it called, Lano?
Kitchen and laundry season, and it's on now at Bingley.
What happens in this season?
Well, in kitchen, we've got special bonus offers on the latest fridge designs, like French doors and side-by-sides.
And laundry?
Special offers on the latest combined washer-dryers, top-loaders and front-loaders.
That's our kitchen and laundry extravaganza.
I'm calling it a season.
You're a man for all seasons.
Check out the great kitchen and laundry deals on now at Bingley.
And there's a great deal more in store.
Tab Saddle Up Sundays. Visit our most exciting regions, like the northwestern districts of New South Wales.
Gunnedah Jockey Club saddles up on Sunday, May 8th. Come along and enjoy Gunnedah Cup Day. There's a free barbecue for the first 100 through the gate, along with fashions on the field and activities for the kids. Sky Sports Radio and Sky Thoroughbred Central have the mounting yard covered at Gunnedah, Sunday, May 8th. Visit gocountryracing.com.au.
Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Well, it's a big one this afternoon, Jimmy, in Adelaide. Adelaide versus the Western Sydney Wanderers in the A-League Grand Final, and one of the all-time greats of Australian football, a real legend of the sport, has been good enough to join us. He's over in Adelaide with his Fox commitments, and he's got some time to have a quick chat with us. It's Mark Bosnich. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Terrific, Mark, and thanks for joining us. And can you just paint a picture quickly of what Adelaide's like in the last 24 hours or so in the build-up to this afternoon's game?
Well, right now, I have to say, it's very, very serene. It's a lovely quiet city this time in the morning. Obviously, it's known for its churches. I haven't heard many church bells ring. In the last 24 hours, the excitement's built up exponentially, you could say, just step by step. They had the fan day yesterday when a lot of Western Sydney Wanderers supporters came down, and credit to them, the vast majority that I spoke to actually driven for 18 hours straight.
It's amazing, isn't it?
To get to Adelaide, that's amazing. And then the Adelaide fans came down to see their team There are about 150 of them, all very, very excited for having their first grand final here in Adelaide. The feeling is, it's kind of like their time. It's Adelaide's time, not only to host the grand final, but to actually win it as well. I think there's a feeling in this town that, or in this city that, although they've been one of the powerhouses of Australian football, they've never had the recognition that they deserve, and this is their opportunity to do it today.
Mark, great to have you on the program.
Thanks, buddy.
Let's talk about your career. Played at some of the biggest clubs in the world, Manchester United twice, Chelsea, and your best football, obviously, at Aston Villa. Let's go back to the start. How old were you, and what encourages a man at such an age to basically leave everything behind and go to England to chase a dream? You must have had enormous family support to do so.
I did, and really what really inspired me was basically watching Craig Johnson win the FA Cup for Liverpool way back in 1986, when they beat Everton to win the double. And obviously by that time I decided to play football, and that was it for me. I wanted to go play at the highest level possible. So I think it was 1987, literally a year later, I had a trial at Liverpool, and they were going to sign me. But then Sir Alex Ferguson, who'd gone to school here with the late Eddie Thompson, who used to be the Australian national
coach. That's right, yep.
Eddie Thompson had got in contact with him, so he flew me over, basically, in March. I think it was March 88. And basically locked me in the room afterwards to say, you're going to sign. So July 1988, 16, I went there, and I was just determined to go there and to make sure that I won some major trophies, which was the ultimate aim. And fortunately for me, I achieved that.
Mm. You had two stints at Manchester United, Mark.
I did.
Sir Alex Ferguson, he's just such an extraordinary figure in the sport. Can you tell us about him? What was he like as a person as well as a manager?
I was basically categorised as very short and simple, say very, very hard, but in general, very, very fair. He's not one, obviously, to trifle with, as I found since my expense the second time around. The first time around, obviously, we had a lot more insecurities than that because he hadn't had the success. And a lot of people forget that around 1990, it looked as though that he was going to get sacked. And, a lot of people wanted him out. And I was very good friends with one of his sons. And Darren, and basically, he was saying, look, you're going to resign rather than have people, rather than sort of face the bullet, so to speak.
Yeah.
He went on to win the FA Cup that year against Crystal Palace. So ironically, they played Crystal Palace again in a couple of weeks' time. And never really looked back from there. The second time he ran, obviously, he just won the treble. He had a lot more success. So he was a lot more relaxed. But he still had that fire within. And that's something, I guess, when you look back throughout your career, it sort of kind of molds your career as a young man. So, I was very, very happy. I was very fortunate. I kind of likened going to Manchester United at that age with basically going to maybe Oxford or Cambridge and finishing off your education.
Yeah, right. Well, you put that education to good use at Aston Villa. Clearly, you played your best football there. What was it about the Midlands club and you that gelled so well?
I think, number one, we had an excellent manager as well when I first went there, Ron Atkinson, who'd just been at Manchester United previously, Sir Alex Ferguson, and another two good managers in Brian Little and John Gregory. That's always very, very important. And the other thing, we had a very good side, unfortunately, this season when they've been relegated, and it's been terribly sad. We came second in the opening season of the Premier League. We won two league cups. One against Manchester United and one against Leeds. And that was the fulfillment of basically looking at Craig Johnson walking around Wembley and going on and doing that. So that was really good. And a very, very good young side. a lot of kids there, Dwight York, people like that, Gareth Southgate, with a lot to prove. And also a lot of old heads who have done pretty much a lot in the all in the game, like your Andy Townsend, Paul McGrath, Ray Houghton, who could guide us. It was a very good mix of youth and experience. And it was a very good team to be at in terms of learning your trade. So, although we were always around the top five, top six, and sometimes even top four, top three, there was not that expectation like there was on Manchester United, I guess, and Blackburn for a time, and Arsenal to actually go on and win it. So it allowed you that little bit of breathing space to develop yourself. Although there was expectation maybe to win a cup, winning expectation to win the league is a completely different thing.
That's true. Just back on those cup finals and playing at Wembley, Mark, as a kid we all grew up watching FA Cup finals on black and white TV, etc., and you mentioned Craig Johnson. I remember that vividly. What was that like walking onto that, sacred turf for a cup final at Wembley?
It was unbelievable, but it wasn't as unbelievable as when the final whistle went. You know that you've done your job and you've actually won it. And that's what really goes through your head. Just the thing, you know, they don't want, especially being a goalkeeper where you're remembered more for your mistakes than probably, you know, the good things that you do. You don't really want the whole world's watching. You don't really want to be let yourself, your family and friends down by making a ricket on cup final day. So that was the main thought as you're going out, just to make sure you go and do it. But when the whistle goes, and you know you've got those steps, the old Wembley had those, I think it was 39 steps.
That's right.
To get the trophy from royalty. That was something very, very special. And then that, just to savour that moment as you walk around the pitch, parade the trophy in front of your own fans, take a picture. That's something that really that money can't buy.
One of the other things that money can't buy is the opportunity to represent your country. And I say this, that you only played for the Socceroos on 17 occasions. Do you wish you played more? Because you could have played more.
Yeah. I guess I could have, but probably, you know, with hindsight, no. And I'll tell you why, because there wasn't really a designated international week then. And the amount of problems that it caused with all my managers to go and play for Australia, it was probably, there was one time I actually had to retire to basically make a point with the old Australian Soccer Federation because they wanted me to play the opening game of the Premier League. And the little bit different thing with me with the other boys is in Australia is that the vast majority of the other boys in Australia use the national team as basically an advertisement for them to go overseas. I never did that. I went over when I was 16, completely on my own accord. So I never did that. I never thought that was, you know, for me that wasn't the way to go. So we had a great goalkeeper, you know, Mark Schwartz, Rob DiBico, John Fyland, you know, the list goes on, Jelko Kalat.
Yeah.
And really had enough goalkeepers really to sustain us. And really, it would have been better, I think, for both parties had I stayed retired at that time. Because, like I said to you, it was so difficult, you know, because, you know, basically the clubs used to basically say, look, well, we're paying you X amount a week. You're travelling halfway around the world to play in a lot of times they were either friendlies or games against, for example, no disrespect to the Solomon Islands, where they're going.
Yeah.
You're going over there to win 12-0. We don't know if you're going to come back injured or whatever. This is ridiculous. You know, we pay your wages. And they did have a very big point. So probably with hindsight, that was... And you know, coming back as well, because I was where I was at, sometimes caused a little bit of schism in the squad. And I just realised it just wasn't the right thing. However... your country's your country, so you put up with a lot because of that.
Yeah, no, well said, Mark. Mm. Mark, man, you gave you a Premier League title, World Club Championship, probably the absolute pinnacles of your career.
Mm.
But during that time when you were at your peak, Australia did not qualify for a World Cup. Is that the one regret you have?
That was a disappointment. Yeah, that was a disappointment because that was serious, and like I said there, and had the blessing from Brian Little, Aston Villa, and sort of, you know, had Terry Venables there. It was all pretty much, you know, everything was all systems go to qualify. And that was a massive disappointment. And as one of the big players in the side, when things go well, you take all the credit. But when things don't go so well, you've got to take the criticism that goes with it. And as a senior member of the squad, like I said, I feel very much responsible. Winning 2-0, absolutely cruising. And then, unfortunately, I think a lot of us, it was like, you know, you got to the top of the mountain, got a nosebleed and fell over.
Yeah.
But it was a lesson that I think everybody will carry with themselves for the rest of their lives. And no matter what they do, that the important thing is you play to the final whistle. And that's no matter what you do in life.
Issues on the paddock, issues off the paddock in the remainder of your professional career, Mark.
Yeah.
When you look back on it now, would there be changes that you'd make?
Yes, of course. Look, one of the things I always used to struggle with was loneliness. You know, I fell in love with a girl that unfortunately had a very bad problem, and who had a terrible upbringing in terms of the way that she was abused by members of her family.
Mm.
So I took it upon myself that I thought I could help her with both things. And in the end, I developed a problem as well. Mm. And if people are thinking what that problem was, it was, you know, substance abuse.
Mm.
And basically what I would, you know, you can't legislate for who you're going to fall in love with. But what I would do is obviously react in a different way once I got the first test positive. I basically just sort of threw the towel in and said, well, that's it, you know, and sort of, you know, went to a downward spiral. So that is one thing that would change. And the other thing probably to think to themselves, you know, we're not always bulletproof, no matter what you think and no matter what phase you're at during your life.
Mm. We all face hurdles in life, and it's how you overcome them, I guess, is the measure of a man and a woman in that respect, Mark. And you've done that, and you've found a real niche, if I can use that word, on Fox Sports. Everyone loves your commentary on that, and you seem to enjoy that role now.
Well, I'm very, very fortunate. I don't think I perhaps would have fully overcome that hurdle had I not found this wonderful job that I've got here at Fox Sports. And really do. I mean, look, I'm very, very fortunate to have played a sport that I love professionally.
Mm.
And now to be actually talking about it is a real, it's a pleasure.
Mm.
And like, you know, I went pretty low during those wilderness periods. So to know sometimes, you know, when you do go that low, that, you know, how lucky you are, it sort of gives you a new zest for whatever you're doing.
Oh, well said, yeah.
Well, before we let you go, Bozza, we're going to have to put you on the spot, mate. Who's going to win today, Adelaide United or Western Sydney?
I'm going to go for Western Sydney Wanderers. I think their name's on the trophy.
Oh.
They were 3-0 down last week. To come back from 3-0 down in the semi-final, I think the big man upstairs has got a few more plans for you.
Yeah, fair enough.
Sounds good to me, Mark.
Well, it's usually great to see your smiling face on a Sunday in there at Fox Sports. I'm going to miss that today. Enjoy the grand final and good calling.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate that.
Thanks for your time, Mark. Really appreciate your time this morning, too.
Take care.
Mark Bosnich there. He is a great character of the game.
Very candid there, wasn't he?
He's always candid. I've heard him do a public speaking gig, and that was at a Sinclair Comets night, and he is mesmerising and so honest and brutally honest. It's great to hear from him.
Very engaging person.
I get nervous when he says their name's on the trophy.
Good things,
makes you very nervous indeed. 1353 53 is the open line number. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more.
Texts and emails on the Big Sports Breakfast are brought to you by the Wideline Windows and Doors 24/7 online quoting app. Take a closer look at wideline.com.au.
To all those who build, we salute you. The crew's tirelessly cutting, lifting and taping so families can call a house a home. The contractor shaping skylines and building communities. At USG Boral, we're the building materials manufacturer that's with you every step of the way. From creating the very first plasterboard to easing your burden with the lightest 10mm and 13mm plasterboard produced in Australia, we're there. Proud supporter of a job well done. Learn more at usgboral.com.
We're here at the local pie shop where we're trying to catch Graham. Now, Graham, is this part of your training for the Super Rugby season?
Well, there's nowhere more Australian than this. It's the perfect place to get my game plan right.
Smart man, because TAB is offering $1.95 lines on all Australian derby games in this year's Super Rugby Championship. So, when it's Aussie versus Aussie in the Super Rugby, look no further than TAB.
Well, they smell good.
Three pies, Graham? Really?
I'm in training.
TAB. More than just winning.
T's and C's apply. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly.
You're sitting in the traffic, motionless. Disappear to another world and relax with a glass of Sacred Hill wine. Try Sacred Hill Moscato, a sweet alternative by De Bortoli. Here's the traffic.
Good morning. In Barara, that earlier crash on the M1 has been cleared. In Mossman, traffic starting to build on Military Road, citybound from the Spit. Looking at the airport, the M5, that's quite heavy, but it is moving inbound from Bexley Road. Marsh Street and Airport Drive, a different story though. Qantas Drive also choked heading into the International Terminal. In Des Moines, you'll find some slow patches on Henley Marine Drive from the Iron Cove Bridge right the way round to Dobroyd Parade. The M4's clear. Parramatta Road 2, for now at least. Feel fitter and healthier with Michelle Bridges' 12-week body transformation. It's a complete program that gets results. The May round starts Monday. Join today at 12wbt.com. I'm Tim Govers on Sky Sports Radio.
With all the goss on your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Jimmy, it's 8:48. We've only had one question. We need question number two.
We're only doing two questions.
We'll get a dressing down after this show.
We'll get a memo, won't we?
I think we will.
In the bin, like all the others. Which former Socceroo was the inspiration for Mark Bosnich to chase his dream in England? Which former Socceroo was the inspiration, provided the inspiration for Mark Bosnich to chase his dream in the UK? Time now to speak to Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Sons. First of all, mate, let's get an update on Big Steve. How is he? Good morning, Scotty.
Good morning, Jimmy. Yeah, boys, he's going really well. He's out of hospital and...
He started doing some walking around, and that he even popped into work the other day. He can't stay away.
That's good news, Scotty.
Keep his eye on him, Scotty.
Much to everyone else's disbelief.
Is he putting some weight back on, Scotty?
He's starting to put a bit on. He's eating a little bit more, and he's starting to look healthy again, boys.
All passing our best.
Fantastic, yeah. Pass on our best, Scotty. All right, tell us about this big Holden V8. It's the ute.
It certainly is. It's an Australian icon, this one. It's the V8 SSZ Series ute. This beast, it's like new. It's a 2012 VE Series 2. It only has 20,000 kilometres on the clock. It's powered by the big 6-litre V8 engine. It punches out 270 kilowatts of power. It's got a 6-speed manual transmission for increased driving performance. It's got 19-inch alloy wheels and sports suspension to handle this untamed animal. Not only does the SSZ series come with all the power, it also has the comfort of partial leather sports seats, a leather gear knob and a leather steering wheel. It really is an absolute pleasure to drive, and it looks sensational. It's reduced to sell this weekend at just $29,990 drive away. So go to the website www.fosterscualitycars.com.au.
I like that, Scotty, the untamed animal. Look, if one of our listeners want to buy the untamed animal or any other car on the lot, Scotty, you can help them out as well.
Yeah, we've got great finance packages. At the moment, we can help out anyone that's had troubles in the past. So even if they're on a pension, they've got paid or unpaid defaults, or they're starting a new business and need a work vehicle. Even Uber drivers, we can help. So now's the time to call so we can help you get into a car today. Go to the website www.fosterscualitycars.com.au, click on the finance link, and we can help you get into a vehicle right now. So be quick and don't miss out.
All right, Scotty. Now, what's happened to Wenny in the Intra Super Premiership, mate? They've stalled.
Yeah, we don't like travelling, I can tell you that. We went up the freeway to Cessnock for the New South Wales Rugby League's country round.
Yeah.
Played Newtown up there, and it was 10-all at half time, and the boys just couldn't get back into the game, ended up losing 24 points to 10. So, we need to just go back to basics, I think, and get back in the winner's circle.
Mate, maybe you get down there and get the boots on again, Scotty. What do you reckon?
Mate, I'm still banned from 5 or 6 years ago when they said I was hitting people too hard in legal tackles.
Oh, okay.
Arguably the most ridiculous thing I've heard this morning, and that's saying something, Scott.
Can I get a prize, boys?
Don't worry, Ray, I'll send you out a CD, courtesy of Sony Music.
Ultimate 60s, what about that? Scotty?
All right. That's
four CDs of the greatest music from the 1960s.
Mother's Day's coming up.
What's that on Seinfeld when they
you re-gift?
That's it, you re-gift.
No re-gifting. Good on you, Scotty.
All right, boys.
We'll speak next week. Scotty Foster there from Steve Foster and Sons Quality Cars. Fosterscualitycars.com.au is where you can check them out online, or you can give them a call as well, and I don't see that number on that line out, so not sure what they're... Anyway, I'll tell you what. Go to the website and get the phone number. Fosterscualitycars.com.au. No more calls about our two-question quiz, courtesy of Event Cinemas at Parramatta. Sorry, Mark, at Event Cinemas. We've under-delivered today. And they're goal passes, too. Mm. It's a double goal pass.
Goal class.
Yeah. Sorry, goal class. Mm. Goal class, double tickets, and... Anyway, two questions. The answers were, well done to Andrew at EMU Plains.
I'd say, who was the winner? Andrew at EMU Plains.
Andrew
at
EMU Plains. The answers were Murwillumbah.
Fell Swoop.
And Craig Johnson.
Didn't he inspire all of us, I reckon, in the mid-80s?
They even made a twoies ad about him, mate. That's how inspirational he was.
He was great for the call.
Fantastic.
Inspired right. Mark Bosnich to chase his dream in England.
By the way, we're going to get your tip of the day.
Yep.
For better of the day, it's a new segment that we've just started about halfway through that hour.
Do you want it now or
no?
Okay.
We're going to do a
flash
forward
of inspiration
self.
For you, will it?
Forward
okay.
Self. Probably run out of time and get bumped up to Thoroughbred Weekly. But anyway, 1353 53 is the open line number. Max is on the line. G'day, Max.
How you going, Jimmy?
Very well, mate.
Hey, good morning, Max.
Yes, I follow the Rabbitohs.
Mm.
I'm keeping a low profile.
That's all right. They can bounce
after
back.
After a couple of years of boasting.
Yeah, people point the blame at me. They call me Mixmatosis Max. and you can throw in as well the Khaleesi virus.
Oh.
No, but we'll be right. Yeah, John Sutton's a big loss for us.
Mm.
And, you know, we've just got to get back to basics, I think. That's all.
Back to, you know what they've got to get back to?
Hold the football.
Being energetic.
Yeah, and hold the football.
Show some enthusiasm.
Yeah, look at the first round. I think they've completed 18 of 18 or 19 of 19.
That's the key,
yeah, just the basics and get the ball out the edges a bit more. But I rang to talk to you about the bunker, fellas.
Yes, Max.
And, look, I think, you know, just... get rid of any doubt and basically allow the bunker to call on to judge on everything, essentially.
But would that just hold the game up too much, though?
Well, not to sort of hold the run of play up, but, you know, if the ball's been spilled, play stopped anyway and players are milling around to, you know, going for a scrum or if a try's been scored. I mean, look at the Eels and Bulldogs, those forward passes by the Eels going down the right-hand side. It was just blaringly obvious, wasn't
it? But remember, the bunker can't rule on forward passes.
Well, I think, well, this is it. I think we have to.
Yeah. Well, there's more technology you can introduce, Max, to help them rule on
line, in the NFL.
Yeah, but aren't we going the other way? You know, for example, I'll give you an example. Calling the game yesterday, it was the Raiders up against the Panthers, and Jordan Rapana leaps through the air, takes a magnificent take of the ball, juggles it, then puts it down to bring the score to 18-16, kick to come. And you think, wow, what a fantastic piece. And even as a commentator, you have to wait because we want to send it upstairs. I've got try, just check the grounding. And if you're in the crowd, it goes...
Yeah, well, Jimmy, I think it's an imperative. We've got to get the decisions right. And look, it's fractions of a second. The game's so quick.
Yes, it is.
You know, like the naked eye cannot pick things up, like little strips, for instance. I mean, they're highly important. How often do you see a strip being called a, you know, loose carry? I mean, little things like that the bunker picks up in seconds. Look, I say, naturally, don't interfere with the run of play, obviously. But, you know, if a ball's been stripped or a try's been scored, I mean, they've got it at their fingertips. They can do it in a matter of seconds. I say, use the bunker to call and everything. Start the telecast probably 15 or 20 minutes earlier. Now, if they get through, you know, particularly on a Sunday.
All right, Max.
Good call. Ultimate CD. Four CDs for Max.
Oh, fair enough. I can't say no now, can I?
Your point, like, though, Jim, is your point's just like the cricket. In terms of when you get a wicket taken, and then you've got to wait for confirmation, and it takes the immediacy out of that initial elation. Same thing with a try, and you've got to wait for confirmation. And I know where you're coming from, but the point Max raised about getting the decisions right, too, is very important.
Is a good one as well, yes. There's the point about getting it right, and there's the point about the natural flow of the game. Yeah. The natural flow of a cricket game is there's natural stoppages.
Exactly.
But the natural flow of a rugby league game...
For the bunker to do everything, Jim, it'd take 5 hours. It'd be like an NFL game.
Well, the natural flow of a rugby league game is for continuous movement, continuous play. That's one of the fabrics of the game because it results in, you know, fatigue for athletes and
so
all
that. Is your answer the bunker to adjudicate on less?
Yes.
Rather than more?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good call.
Absolutely. 13:53:53. Terry's there. G'day, Terry.
Good morning, boys.
Good morning, Terry.
Look, that when is a strip loose carry? I mean, that goes both ways. When is a loose carry ruled a strip?
Yeah, good point.
Absolutely.
But with South Sydney, it just amazed me to feel that they come down from Townsville and on the Sunday morning they'll put through a grueling training session. How much input has Russell Crowe got in this side?
I don't know.
Look, his bestie was wearing a moon boot, so he was excused from that, but that just don't make sense. Coming down the day after a hard game, whether you put up a poor performance or not, going through a grueling training session.
Yeah, well, that's the information that we got from Zorba, and you expect that to be correct, so...
My advice would be to these players, like, get some mate who's not known in any circles just to says what's happening, because I think Russell Crowe, I mean, he invited all these guys up to his house and then starts abusing them. I mean, obviously, Russell Crowe, he owns the joint. And, look, it just don't make sense. You don't force.
Okay, all right. And a way to go on that one. Not sure I made much sense of that one, Tez. Appreciate the call. Craig Johnson was not a socceroo. Never played for Australia, only England under-21s. Yeah. I didn't know that.
He once said that playing for Australia was like surfing in England. Craig Johnston.
Did he say that? Yeah. That's a good line, isn't it? 190 games for Liverpool between 1981 and 1988. Mm. Now, that's a career, isn't it?
I think he was an inspiration for a lot of Australian footballers to chase their dream because he grew up in Australia and he's one of the, like Mark Bosnich, he went over there and chased his dream. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, some cracking games of sport today, Raymond. We've got our Bet of the Day. It's a new segment, all courtesy of tab.com.au. Where are you going today, mate?
A-League Grand Final.
Oh, yes.
Just the Grand Final winner bet.
Okay.
The Wanderers.
Okay, so they're $2.20.
Yep. Just to win the grand final.
To win the grand final. To hold up the trophy.
That's it, at the
end. Okay. Mine is Bet of the Day. Cracking game today down at Shark Park, Southern Cross Group Stadium. $2.05. Sharks to beat the Broncos. I'm with Zorba on that one.
I'm with you too, Jimmy.
You're with me as well? All right. For once, you're with me. I appreciate that.
Always
thanks very much to all our guests. Hope you have a great day today, Ray.